Take your scriptures that God has given us and turn to the fourth chapter of the book of 1 Peter. Our text this morning will be chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. If you've been coming to this church for quite some time, you'll know that we have always announced the purpose of the church, why the church exists. And we have laid down three purposes for which we exist. Number one, we exist to evangelize the lost or to witness, and Diana has just sung about that, the fact that we're here to reach the lost for Christ, to preach Christ to people that don't know him. And that's why the church, why Christ left the church here, is a lamp, a light to a dark world, to announce the gospel. We're also here to worship, to exalt him. So we're gathered here this morning as a church people to sing, to praise him, to pray him, to pray to him, to recognize that he is our Lord and our Savior, and we are to live for him. And that's called worship or exalting God. The third purpose is to edify or to work, to minister to each other. God gave us a purpose to come together, to exist as God's people, to minister and help one another. The Apostle Peter, in chapter 4, focuses that on that particular purpose. Look at chapter 4 and verse 10 and verse 11. As each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. And Peter says, listen, we've all received a special gift. You all have a gift, employ it in serving one another. Your job is to edify. Your job is to build up one another. It's to be working in ministering to each other. You've all received a special gift. Now, next week, we'll be talking about that as well. The fact that we're having a ministry fair and ministry, and the fact that God has given us a special gift, employed in serving one another. If you're a Christian this morning, whether you've been a Christian for a week or 50 years, it doesn't matter. Whether you know a lot or know a little, it doesn't matter. Whether you're living for God or not living for him at all, it doesn't matter. God has given you a special gift, a spiritual ability, endowed, given to you when you became a believer in Jesus Christ. It is not a natural talent. You were not born with it. You're born again, and then you receive that special gift. And Peter says, you have received this gift, therefore use it, employ it. Get to work with it in serving one another. Now look at verse 10 with me for just a moment. He uses an expression here. Serving one another as good, what? Stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse 10. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, we're in the 21st century, and for many of us, we don't use the word steward. But in Peter's day, in Jesus' day, in Paul's day, the issue of stewards and stewardship was very common. It was a common phenomena, common practice of people in that day to occupy what they call stewards. And Peter says, listen, you're a steward in a spiritual sense. You're a Christian, you received a gift God has given you, a special ability. Therefore, let's use it, let's employ it as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, you may say, well, what in the world is a steward? And we're going to answer the question, what a steward is, and then talk about being a good steward. What are the qualities of a good steward? Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his teaching, as he addressed the people of his day, always used analogies that people could relate to. And there are many times that he would use the analogy of a steward to teach a lesson. Let me take you to two examples of it just to help us understand what is a steward. Go to Luke 12, please, the Gospel of Luke and chapter 12, for the first of these illustrations of what is a steward. What in the world is God talking about when he says that we are stewards? And in chapter 12, and come down to verse 42, Luke 12, 42. And the Lord said, the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible, what? Steward, whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them the rations at the proper time. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his own heart, my master will be long in coming, and he begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour in which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive but a few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be what? Required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will also do what? Ask all the more. And so the Lord says, listen, in my absence, I'm going to be gone from you for a while. Like we mentioned last week, the Lord left, returning again sometime. In the meantime, I want you to be ready doing something. And so he says, you are like stewards that a master put in charge of his possessions. Now notice the master is a slave. Notice that. He's a slave that he promoted to the position of steward and put him in charge of all his possessions. Go to chapter 16, Luke chapter 16. Another illustration, another parable that he brought to the attention of his people to give us a lesson involved the use of stewards. Now he was also saying to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a what? He had a manager. My Bible says manager. What does your Bible say? Some say stewards. The word is literally steward. The same word that we found in chapter 12 here is also the same. But the idea is translated for our purposes. He's a manager. A steward now then is a manager. He's in charge of certain things, of certain activities, of certain tasks, and his job is to manage the affairs of somebody else. So the steward is involved in. Let's read on. And it says, reported to him the squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to beg. I am ashamed. I am ashamed to beg. And then he goes on to describe what he needed to do. Now, these two parables are helping us because they identify what a steward is. A steward is a manager of someone else's possessions. And so the Lord says, you are in the same way a manager. I've given you a special gift, a special ability. Now I want you to be a good steward with that, a good manager of that. And so that's what God had called us to do. Now, to help us this morning understand our stewardship in the area of gifts, because you all have one. You have one, I have one. These are spiritual abilities God has given to you that are real born-again Christians. He says, now you're a steward of these of this gift. Be a good one at it. And I want to talk about the qualities of a good steward, because you can be also a bad steward. But what are the qualities of a good steward? For the sake of time, I'll be addressing five of these. Five qualities of a good steward. Number one, the first of these is this, very simple. That a good steward knows that he or she owns nothing. A good steward knows that he or she owns what? Nothing. You see, as a steward, a biblical steward didn't own anything. He owns nothing. Reminding us that all that we have does not belong to us. Belongs to whom? Belongs to God. The Bible says clearly, the Lord is the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That is, everything belongs to God. Belongs to God. It was made by him. It belongs to him. It is his. A good steward knows that. He knows that it doesn't belong to him. He knows that it belongs to the master. Did you notice carefully in chapter 12, go back to chapter 12, that in chapter 12, when the Lord speaks about this steward, in verse 42, who is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? And then in verse 43, blessed is that what? He's a slave. Interesting. He's a slave who owned nothing. He was a property of the master. But the Lord took him and promoted him to steward and gave him the keys of everything, gave him a responsibility. But in actuality, a steward owns nothing. And a good steward knows that. A good steward realizes that he really owns nothing, that everything that he has is really not his. And we know that. We understand that everything we have belongs to God. Everything. No matter what it is, the very breath you breathe is because God allows it. And a good steward realizes that. A good steward, because he knows that he owns nothing, never acts as though it's his. Now, in both of these parables, in both of these stories, these stewards are guilty of mismanagement. They commit the grave error of thinking that because they had access to everything, that it was for them to do as they pleased. And they mismanaged. The one in chapter 12, instead of feeding and doing the master's duty of caring for the servants, both female and male servants, no, instead of doing the task, he began to party. He had access to all the warehouses, all the food, all the wine. He had access to the banquet halls. He had access to whatever. And he just threw party after party after party and neglected serving. You see, he took what he thought was his, and it wasn't his. The other servant was guilty of mismanagement. A report came to him, and he called the steward. He says, you know what, I received some bad report from people that you are mismanaging my affairs. You're squandering my affairs. Therefore, give an account of your stewardship because I'm firing you. I'm removing you from this position and you're going back to just being a servant or a slave. I'm relieving you of this duty. See, what happens, people, is that if we're not careful, you may look at what you have, whatever you have, material or immaterial, and you may think that it's yours, that you can do with it as you want to do it. You know what? It's my body. I'll do with it what I want to do with it. You know, it's my possessions. It is my money. It is my life. I will do with my life what I want to do with it. A good steward would never say that. He would never say that. He would say, all that I have belongs to who? To God. What I have that God has given me is his. And therefore, I need to realize that what I have is not really mine. It belongs to God. Belongs to him. And as you and I journey through life, that truth must ring loud and clear. Now there's a second quality of a good steward. The second quality of a good steward is that a good steward knows that he has something special entrusted to him. He realizes that whatever the master has placed in his charge isn't just trivial. It isn't insignificant. It comes with great, great importance. And in both of these cases that the Lord gave us as illustrations, again, you realize that these were very serious responsibilities. He called the slave, he says, I'm putting you in charge. You're my steward now, and your job is to take care of my servants, to clothe them, to feed them, to manage my affairs. That was a serious responsibility. The other steward in chapter 16 had carte blanche. I mean, he gave the slave everything, full responsibilities. The parable goes on to say he even had access to the books. He managed even the books. The master cared for nothing. It was almost like Potiphar and Joseph in the Old Testament. When Potiphar made Joseph his steward of everything. And he said to Joseph, he says, so Joseph, you have control of all my books, all my credit cards, all my accounts, my keys, everything. The only thing you don't have is my wife. But aside from that, you have control of everything. You see, A steward realizes that the trust given to him is a very special trust. Now, think about that. Therefore, back in 1 Peter, when he says, you have received a special gift, use it as good stewards of the grace of God. The gift that God gave you isn't insignificant. It is a major issue. It is of great importance. Later on in Titus chapter 1, when Paul addresses the pastors of the churches, he says, you are stewards of the church. That is your responsibility. I'm entrusting the care of the church to you. You're stewards, therefore, take care of them. And so all the elders and pastors know that they never take the responsibilities lightly. The care of the flock of Jesus Christ is a major, major responsibility. Paul later on would, in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, will talk about the ministry of the gospel that God gave to him. I've appointed you, Paul, an apostle to the Gentiles. You're to take the gospel. And Paul says this is a very, very serious responsibility. You see, friend, the ministry God gave to you isn't trivial. It isn't insignificant. It isn't like low class. It is extremely, extremely significant. He's given it to you, placed it in your hands, and it has great, great value. It would be a pity for us, pity for any believer, to look at his gift and think that it's not significant, that it doesn't really matter, that it's not doesn't have great importance. God would say, no, I'm making you a steward of something that I want you to have. Now, I want you to go with me to Ephesians 4 for just a moment. In Ephesians 4, as Paul describes this whole arena of gifts and ministry and the epistle to the Ephesians, Ephesians 4, and please come to verse 7 of the fourth chapter. When he speaks about gifts and abilities in this context, Ephesians 4 and verse 7, Ephesians 4, 7 says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of what? Of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave what? Gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets. And then he speaks about the giving of the gifts. Now let me ask you a question right now. Where is Jesus Christ right now? Where is he? He's in heaven. So let me ask you, who's taking his place on this earth? The Holy Spirit is. Right? The Holy Spirit is given to take his place. But now, in the ministry to one another, who is taking his place? We are. We are. See, that's what he's saying here. I'm going to heaven, and I'm placing you in charge. I'm making you a steward for you to take care of my people, my church, my body. That's why he gave the gifts. He gave us all a gift for us to be responsible, caring for individually, one with another. The Lord has placed you in his stead. So instead of Christ ministering, he put you to minister. And Christ, instead of you caring for that sick person, God has given you the gift of mercy for you to care for them. Instead of him being the one to teach the little ones, he gave you the gift of teaching for you to teach them. We can go on and on and on. True? See, that is your response. That is why it's so important. A good steward knows that. The master left me in charge. I am here to do his task. When I was growing up, my father had groups of men that he would hire, and he would administrate them. He would be the boss, and sometimes he would go on a journey or go on a special business trip just for the day, and he would leave me in charge. He would say, son, you're in charge now. You take over. And I was a teenager to take over this responsibility. See, he left me in his stead, serving in his capacity. It was a heavy, heavy responsibility for me. But friend, when you think about your ministry, see, a good steward knows that this is a very serious, serious responsibility that God has given me. It is an important task, and I'm doing it in His stead. So think about your ministry that God has given you, those that are serving. You see, in other words, you're serving in His stead. Whatever it is, whatever you're doing for the Lord, it's because Christ has put you there in His stead. Now, for you that are not serving, think about it. Is it you've taken your gift and you've minimized it? You don't even think it's important. You're not even ministering in Christ's stead. See, a good steward will always look at what God has given him. As insignificant as the world may think it is, Jesus says it is not insignificant. It is very, very, very significant. The gift God has given you, and a good steward knows that. Now, there's a third quality that a steward also knows. And the good steward knows that he's under obligation to another. A good steward knows that he's under obligation to another. He has to give an account. Now, did you notice that in these two illustrations on Luke 12 and Luke 16, that in both of these cases, both stewards had to give an account. They had to give an account. They know that someplace sooner or later, the master will come and they have to give an account for their stewardship. This is part because, again, they own nothing. They own nothing. And the charge they're given is very significant. And they have to come then and give an account to God, give an account to the master for their stewardship. The reason today why so many people live such careless lives is they feel that somehow they will never have to give an account to anybody. That's why so many people today live such careless lives. They feel that somehow we've been bred this philosophy that we're not going to give an account. Even these two men in Boston who committed this terrible, terrible deed. Could they really get away with it? With a million cameras looking at all these people, do you think that somehow they could get away with it? They did. They thought they could. They thought somehow they would never be brought to give an account. But they did. You see, friend, all of us here, they belong to Christ. And if you don't belong to Christ, that includes you as well. We're all going to give an account. And see, a good steward knows that today or tomorrow or the next day, the master comes and I have to give an account to him for my stewardship. And that puts you in a whole different perspective. You look at your life from a whole different perspective. You dot your I's and you cross your T's. You know why you do what you do. You realize that for some reason, the Lord is going to hold me accountable for this stewardship. And by the way, it affects the way you do things. It affects your entire attitude towards your ministry. The way you serve the Lord, the way you use your gifts, it affects your whole attitude to know that I'm going to give an account to this. You know, the Apostle Paul was a man who felt himself that he was a man under a stewardship of the gospel. And he shows us in his letters how it affected the way he performed his ministry. The fact that he would one day give an account to Christ for his ministry, it affected his entire attitude of how he performed it. Go to chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians as a glimpse to his testimony. In 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 and 17, he pulls back the curtain for just a moment and shows us the motivation that drives him as he ministers the stewardship God has given to him, that is, a preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go to chapter 9 and verse 16. He says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For I am what? I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." In other words, in that he says, I'm in trouble here. If I fail in my mission, I'm in trouble because I'm going to face my master. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Now notice in verse 17, he therefore, it affects my attitude that I use. Verse 17, "For if I do this voluntarily, I have a what? A reward. But if against my will, I'll have a stewardship, what? Entrusted to me. He says, I have two options with this gift. I can do it willingly. I can put my heart into it. I can do it passionately, with spirit, with gusto. I can do that. He says, if I do that, there's a reward for that. There's a blessing for that. And by the way, that's the approach Paul used. In all of his ministry, he just looked at his stewardship. He looked at it from a perspective like, Lord, thank you. He even told us in 1 Timothy 1:12, he said, I thank Christ Jesus my Lord, who placed me into ministry. Consider me faithful, placing me into ministry, even though formerly I was a persecutor and a blasphemer and a violent aggressor. I was a murderer of his people. I was, of all the sinners, I was the worst of all the sinners. And yet God gave me this privilege of ministry. See, he looked at it as a privilege that God would invite me to be part of his ministry. That is privilege. You see, when you know that God has given you something that you don't deserve, it's privilege. And to think, dear people, that God has given you a special gift for you to minister to his people, that is a privilege. And Paul would say, you know what? I look at it and I do it willingly because I think about it as a privilege, and that's the way I serve. But he adds in verse 17, look at verse 17, but he adds, but if against my will, but if I don't feel like doing it, what? I have a stewardship entrusted to me. In other words, it affects even my doing it. I'm going to do it anyway, because it's something that God has given me to do. Listen, people of God. Today, the church suffers with this mentality that somehow we don't think about our ministry as duty, as an obligation. That somehow we don't have to come through with it. And Paul says, no, a stewardship is an obligation. It is a duty God has given to me. He's placed me in charge. Therefore, I need to perform. If I don't feel like doing it, I do it anyway. If my godness are not there, I make sure it gets done anyway. Why? Because I'm going to answer to him today or tomorrow. It is a trust he has given me. It is a stewardship. It's called duty. Duty can be mechanical. Duty can be obligatory. Duty can carry no reward to it. Duty is still duty. Duty is to be performed. We have this attitude, people of God, in America, because of the lightweight Christianity that we have, because our spectator mentality, because of our entertainment attitude. We have this attitude that somehow, if we don't feel like doing something, we don't have to do it. Well, you know what? I just don't feel like ministry. I'm off the hook. You know, I just don't feel like teaching. You know, I'm tired of hostessing. My heart's not in it anymore. I'm tired of being a deacon. I'm tired of deaconing, and my heart's not in it anymore. Therefore, you know, I'm just not going to do it anymore. My heart's not in it. And we say, well, it must be okay. God must understand. If your heart's not in it, you are excused. Is that true? Paul is saying the opposite. If my heart's not in it, what? Do it anyway. That's what he's saying. If my heart's not in it, I do it anyway because I answer to him. I have this stewardship entrusted to me. You will take the gospel to the ends of the earth. You will, Paul. Whether you like it or you don't like it, you will do it. Now see, for us, this is a strange thing. This is a strange issue. But the fact of the matter, it is gospel truth. That when God gives you a stewardship, a good steward means that he follows through even when he doesn't feel like it. What would the world look like if we did everything out of feelings and not out of duty? Many things that we do are out of duty. For many of us here this morning, our wives are not here with us today, right? Now, what if they came back from the retreat with a new teaching that unless they felt like it, they're not going to do it? All right, so your wife comes back, and tomorrow she says, you know what? I don't feel like cooking your breakfast today. So you're not going to get it. I don't feel like cooking your dinner either. And tomorrow I'm going to feel the same way, and from there on, I don't feel like washing your clothes anymore. I don't feel like I don't feel like cleaning the house. I don't even feel like going to work either. Now what if she did that tomorrow? What would you say? What would you say? What would you say? See, it would be like, whoa, where did that come from? Because you see, whether you like it or not, much of what we do in life is out of duty. True or not? For many of us, your wives cook out of duty. And you're her, and she has a big duty because with some of you. In other words, she does it not because she feels like it, but because she has to do it. And what if I turned it on her? What if I said, you know, honey, from now on, I'm not taking the trash out anymore because I don't feel like doing it. So you can just take your own trash out. And you know what? I don't feel like mowing the lawn. I feel like washing the cars. I don't feel like putting gas in the cars. I don't feel like paying the bills. I don't feel like going to work today or this week or next this month. I'm taking 6 months off. I'm tired. What if I did that to her? I mean, there'd be a mutiny in the Montoya home. True or not? See, I don't say to her, you know, honey, the reason why I take the trash out, I just love taking the trash out. I love you so much that I enjoy doing this for you, to take the trash out. That's why I take it out. And I just thank God as I'm taking the trash out how great a wife you are. And I just love doing it. You think I tell her that? I would never tell her that. I take the trash out of what? Duty. Duty. That's all it is, duty. That's the case. We do a lot of things out of duty. Why? Because they gotta be, someone's gotta do it. True or not? We have to do it. It's a charge given to us. It comes with a package. Comes with marriage. Comes with the whole issue of marriage. It's called duty. And so does ministry come with this aspect of duty. Paul tells us that. You're a steward, and a good steward realizes that it's duty. He's got to do it. You're going to be there until God calls you home. It's out of duty, people. And all across America, we have all these people flaking out AWOL just because somehow you don't feel like it. Well, you know, God wouldn't want me to do it without me wanting to, would he? Sure he would. Sure he would. He wants you to do a lot of other stuff, and you still do it anyway without feeling it. Sure. Well, wouldn't want me to teach without me wanting to? Sure he would. Someone's got to teach them. True or not? See, in other words, this is what God is saying. And you and I, some of us that think we're good stewards, got to realize that for some reason, this is duty. God expects you to come through with this. It's important to note that. You see, we have to answer to him, and a good steward knows that in the back of his mind, he's an answer to God for his stewardship. And therefore, then, we adjust ourselves and prepare ourselves and adopt the right spirit in regards to that. Now, there's a fourth quality found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Would you please turn there? In the fourth chapter, a fourth quality of a good steward. And as Paul describes his stewardship in chapter 4, verse 1, then he tells us what is the chief quality of a good steward. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found. What's the word there for you? Faithful or what? Trustworthy. Dependable. The word is faithful, used over and over again for this issue of stewardship. In other words, the faithfulness is what God expects from stewards. It's a trust that God gives you. You know, I expect you to come through with this. I expect you to follow through on your stewardship. Here's what God is saying to us. So whatever gift God has given to you, whatever responsibility the Lord has laid on you for his ministries to his church, he says the prime requisite is faithfulness. Faithfulness. It's not intelligence. It's not high IQ. It's not great ability. It's faithfulness. That's the prime requirement. Now, what does faithfulness look like? Well, think of the following. It means, for example, showing up. How does that sound? How about just showing up? And showing up on time. True, that's faithfulness. Dependable means faithfulness. Showing up. It means to follow through on your commitment. If you say you're going to do it, you what? Do it. Without excuses. An excuse does not excuse us. So we love to have these excuses. You know, we love to have them. My grandson has a shirt. He wears it. Global warming burned up my homework is the shirt that he wears. In other words, we can have all these excuses why we didn't come through. And we use them. Well, I wasn't able to come through because. And you'd be surprised. You see, faithfulness means you follow through. Faithful means you complete the job. Faithful means you have the right attitude as you minister tonight. That'll be our topic tonight, the right attitude in ministry, because the Lord desires that we have the right attitude. Ministry, to be faithful means to give it your best. Give it your best. See, my best and your best could be different. Your quality and my quality could be different. You have to give it your best to be faithful. I have to give it my best to be faithful. Your race and my race are totally different. You see, the issue is you give it your best. You play by the rules. You don't make up your own rules. You play by the rules. The rules that God lays for us here in the text. We don't design new rules. You follow the rules that God lays for us. You show a return on your investment, on his investment in you. There's always a return. What have you produced as a result of your ministry? All of that has to do with faithfulness. Now ask yourself, are you a faithful steward? Are you faithful to your ministry? Are you there week after week, month after month? Do you follow through on your commitment of when and what you plan to accomplish? Do you finish the task? You have the right attitude. Do you give it your very best? All of that has to do with being a good steward. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. And examine your life today. Examine your ministry today. Are you a faithful steward? Now the last of these traits is number 5. A good steward knows that there's a reward for God for good stewardship. We saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the motivation of reward. We saw it in both of these illustrations in Luke chapter 12 and Luke 16, that a good steward has a reward. The master says to him, you were faithful, I'm going to promote you to something greater. You see, faithfulness is rewarded. A good steward knows that if he functions properly and effectively, that the master, the Lord, will reward those that are faithful. Faithful. Listen, why is it today that some believers have stopped? You see, because they don't think God is faithful. They don't think the Lord really comes through. I recall as a young man, working with my father up in Central California. We worked for this farmer once, and we went up to, I recall I was a little guy. I was still in high school or below high school, and I recall going with my dad to contract the work. And the farmer, she was from another nationality, she says, I pay good. She says, I pay good. And my dad said, well, how much? Oh, I pay good. So we started working. And every day, like he would ask her, how much are we getting? Oh, I pay good. I pay good. We finished the job and she ripped us off. She didn't pay good. See, and so sometimes we look at God that way and we say, you know what? It's not worth it. Why is it that some of us here this morning are not busy serving God? Because deep down, you don't think it's worth your effort. Because he doesn't pay good. So instead you serve the devil. Does he pay good? He doesn't pay good at all. He promises, I pay good, but he doesn't. He rips you off, doesn't he? Look at our prisons, look at our broken lives, and pay good at all. But see, you fall for that. And you're putting your energy in serving him and not serving Christ because you really don't think that it's worth it to serve the Lord. But a good steward knows A good steward knows that serving the Lord, he will deal with you and he will reward you. So Paul says, if I serve him willingly, reward is in store for me. He promotes you. He promotes you. Don't worry about where he puts you. Be faithful in the little things. He'll put you in charge over what? Greater things. Doesn't he do that? See, against some of us, we want to have this great ministry. We want to get promoted. This morning I used the illustration of Brother Ernie and the worship team. Some people say, I want to be able to lead a worship team. I want to be like, I want his job. But you're not faithful in your job. You don't even do the minimum. You'll never get to that. Because what? You're not faithful. You're not thinking of the fact that if you're faithful in the little things, God will reward you and promote you in his own time, in his own place. True or not? See, in other words, just think about it. The Lord is going to be the great rewarder of your life. You never lose out when you serve God. You never lose out when you serve the Lord. And a good steward knows that it really pays to be involved in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's worth every effort. And I'd encourage you, friend, for us to be thinking about that. Now, some of us here, let's divide the groups today. There's some of us here that know our ministries and you are good stewards. You went out, you were checking these off one by one. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, got that one down. Cut that one down. And man, well, I'm ready, you know. And some of you that flunked out, you know, 1 out of 5, 2 out of 5, got some work to do, right? There's some of us here that are AWOL. We just like took the gift and threw it back to God. You know, Lord, you can have your gift. I'm not working for you or anybody else. I'm doing my own thing. Boy, we have problems with you, right? In other words, you do what you need to do this morning and realize that the goal then is for us to become a good steward of the manifold grace of God. You've been given a very, very precious gift. Don't squander it. You've been given a precious gift to be used in place of Christ. Don't disappoint him. Right? Let's do it for the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for giving us this wonderful privilege to be involved in serving you. And what a joy it is for us to be able to sit here together and examine all this wonderful idea of stewards and knowing that we own nothing, but Lord, you allow us to enjoy everything. You made this wonderful universe for us to live in. You've endowed us. You've blessed us with so much. And then to invite us to participate with you in the ministry to your people, your church, and to have this privilege. May none of us take it lightly. So Lord, work in us today. Speak to us now. Make us take inventory of our lives. And Lord, may we journey together to bring glory to you. We now ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.